Now that you're here.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we trust that this day our desires will be toward you, even as your desire is toward us, that we will apprehend, Lord, by faith, what you have extended toward us through love, and that, Lord, we'll be sincere and sober as never before to put ourselves in a position of desiring to understand and to really understand, to know thee, to know your ways, to know that as we have never known it before, Lord, because we realize we're growing up into a position and an image which will carry right on over into the promised land. And we know, Lord, that whatever is here is already required for over there, and what's required for over there is already here. And so something has already been met as to conditions and all that pertains to it. And we know that it is not something of ourselves. It has to be you building the house, and you're the master of that house, and you're going to take that house over to that place that you want it to be placed. So this we have confidence, Lord. All our needs are met in you, the great needs, and we're majoring on you, Lord, today, and not on the minors, which would be in those things that are here extant in the world, and the worldly church goes after, but we go after thee, O Lord. Our heart panteth after thee. Soul looks up to you, Lord, as the heart pants after the water brook. So, Father, we commend ourselves to you in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're going to be continuing in the the projecting of love, and this is the fourth message, and hopefully we'll be able to say the things that really will crystallize our thinking. Now, to this point, and not only to this point, but at this point, we emphasize that much teaching on the projecting of love is gross error, because it does not proceed on the basis that love is not Christian love unless it is one with the Word. Now, that doesn't mean that the people are deliberate in this. It's they don't know the Word to begin with. And the reason they don't know the Word is because they've not been trained in the utmost importance of it. It's, you say, well, there's Bible schools, there's seminaries, and there's just everything that makes that statement sound as though it were a little abstract, if not wrong, because that's what Bible schools and seminaries and churches and Bible studies, everything is all about. Well, I grant you that, but if you don't have a proper understanding, a proper revelation, then it isn't going to stand up. And that's what's wrong with love. It seems that the majority have simply taken what they deem to be love, or what is required of them to be set forth as love, and then they run with it, and it's not Christian love. It's a filial love. It's not the agape love, as you might say. Now, we can see that this is correct from a very simple basic formula, which is in three parts. One, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right, number one then, God is the Word. Number two, John 4:24, God is a Spirit. So number two, God is a Spirit. He's Word, He's Spirit. Number three, 1 John 4:8, and also other scriptures, God is love. So therefore we see God is the Word, God is Spirit, God is love. God who is the Spirit is love. Or the God of love is Spirit, and He's Word. I don't care how you put it. Those three things show you that you can never deal apart from any portion except you deal in the whole. You simply cannot do it. Now, it doesn't take a genius in the Scripture to understand how these three statements go together, because they do go together. They have to go together because they're Scripture. There is an interrelation there, and there's got to be an understanding. So, all right, we're going to take the first one, which is God is Spirit. So we're going to go to the book of Timothy. That'd be 1 Timothy, I suppose. And maybe it's 6 first. Let me see. Well, it's in the book of Timothy here. And we're going to the 15th verse. So we get the 16th where we want it. 1 Timothy 1:15, but 16 will be the verse. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Now notice it says here that God cannot be seen. And we know the reason for that is that God is spirit. The Bible tells you that. No man has seen God at any time. That's exactly what the Bible tells us. All right. Now then, the next thing to understand is this. And this is what many people just simply do not come to. And that is, though God is spirit, and he is limitless, insofar as spirit, per se, cannot be seen, it is not that he is without definition. For though God is spirit, he does have definition, and he can be known. So let's go back to the book of Hosea, just to set our premise here. And we'll go to the second chapter, and verse 20. Oh, look, I might have missed that one. Oh, I got a little mistake down here. I'm sorry, but that's all right. Let me see if I can get one more for you. Sometimes I put a wrong thing down here, and then when I do, it's Hosea 6 and 3 will be one here that lines up. I'll find the other later on, hopefully. Now it says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Now there's the thought that we have in here. If we follow on to know the Lord, we are going to know him. We are able to know him. That's the pertinent thing that we have in mind to understand at this point. That God is knowledgeable. Oh yeah, the 20th verse is what I do want, and it's the last portion of the second chapter. And thou shalt know the Lord. So there is a knowableness of God, and that knowableness of God is found to begin with over here in the book of Romans, the second chapter, and the 18th verse beginning, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And just keep that verse in mind for later on, though I won't repeat it. Because that which may be known to God is manifest to them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him, now you can't see him, see? There's no anybody can see him, but he is seen in a figure by creation. For the invisible God is clearly known that he's there through creation. See, clearly seen. You can't see him, but you can see him. Being understood by the things that are made. Now there's something about him you can understand in nature, which is even his eternal power and Godhead. That therefore anybody that delves in nature, even into biology and into the actual physiology and into sciences, who comes away believing that there is no God but evolution, he's a fool. Now, he's not going to have an excuse. Someone's going to say, well, I tell you what, our preacher didn't preach it. Oh, yeah? You don't need a preacher. That's right. In this
particular phase. See, they say revolution, there's no God. The fight's still raging now, going to the Supreme Court again, in the schools. Well, should we not have the Bible account instead of Darwin's? No, we can't have the Bible account. Let me tell you something. Not only their books will burn, they will burn. You say, Brother Vail, you're not nice. Then you cuss God. Don't cuss me. You go talk to God. Sit right here. Without excuse. No excuse. What about people not this day then fooling around under this message? You tell people, you watch now, you get yourself in a trap. You ain't going to watch for nothing. They're going to say, Brother Vail, why don't you come and tell me? I don't babysit. Why don't you come to me? You do come right here. Sure, you want me to come to you? Huh? It's all right. I can do that too. No excuse. People always look for excuses. No excuse. Otherwise, why would God judge? See, not just by creation now, but let's go to 1 Samuel 3. Verse 15. This is where God speaks to Samuel, and here's what the word says about God speaking to Samuel. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Now, he didn't see a thing, but he heard, so therefore you can see with your ears. You see with your spiritual ears. Now, we're getting into the next verse 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. So there's another visitation of a voice. That's when John turned to see the voice. Couldn't see, heard. But he saw with his ears. See? And you see with your eyes, too. But you hear with your eyes also. That's over here in Romans, see? They were hearing from God by looking, by seeing with the eyes. All right. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. All right. The Lord appeared and he revealed himself by his word. So God was known in that particular way. Okay. Revelation chapter 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. All right? God is in the revealing business. Let's go to Ephesians 1. This is for this hour, and we've discussed this time after time after time after time. Preached all kinds of sermons on it. Paul said, after I heard of your faith and love, they're already full of the Holy Ghost. They're going on with God. Cease not to give thanks, you making mention of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of himself. There you are. Tells you that God is spirit, but he can be known. And the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. You'll have a spiritual revelation. And you'll know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, and the inheritance of the saints. And then you'll know what it is to be in the rapture. All right. With that, we're going to read Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Little book in there. Reading the 14th and 15th verses, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing to be put to it, anything taken from it, and God doeth it, then men should fear him. That which has been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and the Lord requireth that which is past. Now Israel never did learn that lesson. The Gentiles never learned that lesson. Let's go to Luke, the 12th chapter. And in verse 56, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. How is it you do not discern this time? What was that time? The appearing of God in human flesh. This was the time of the Messiah, the virgin birth, the great prophet, all of those things, prophet like unto Moses. Now he said, you can discern the face of the skies. He said, you've had ample time to look. You know how God does things. There's not one of you should be fooled. Therefore, Israel is without excuse. And that's exactly why Titus came and destroyed them in 70 A.D. And that's exactly why there's going to be a great tribulation after this hour in which we live. Now, I said, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and the earth. How is it you do not discern this time? Now, he said, if you can do that, you can do this. In other words, the ability lies in man to know. If man wants to know, if he wants to follow on, he'll know God. And in your God, as I didn't read the rest of Scripture, said he's like the former and the latter rain. He will start with the teaching here, and then he'll come in a circle and bring the same thing right back. And when you see it brought right back, you know the circle's finished. You can't tell people that. They're not going to listen. But there it is. You said it before. Why, they might even build a Bible school on the fact of Alpha and Omega precept alone. And turn right around and fall flat in their faces because they won't apply. All right. Yeah, why even yourselves judge ye not what is right? And so on. All right. There you are. You can see that God is spirit. That's true. God is the Word. Now, when you come to spirit, it seems as though it's undefined. But the same God brought forth a word which would perfectly define him and showed you that the definition of his living by creator of nature, though in itself acceded to, would be highly commended of God and not acceded to, would be highly disproved of God, there was something beyond that. And that was a revelation where God began to define himself by his own word. Now, the next thing is, he says, God is love. Now, this is where men are mostly in error. But stop and think a moment. God is spirit, and he can only be known by revelation. Now, let's find out. It says here, John 1 and 18, no man has seen God at any time. Why? Because he's a spirit. But the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he has led him forth or brought him into plain view by describing in words this very one. See? Now there you are. God using a means to bring himself into view and understanding of the people, which view is in nature, but inscrutable, in that you cannot know essentially what God is just by creation. You've got to get inside and find out. Well, God tells you how you get inside of him and finds out. He just spills himself before us. Gives us a revelation. Now, however, that revelation is absolutely by God himself, and does not encompass one thing that man thinks he knows about God on his own. Now here, a man looks at nature, and he says, all right, I believe this is this kind of a God. Now look, you cannot understand the true essence and have a knowledge of God in nature, except that you know there is a God out there somewhere. Because by the time you begin to spout off that God's a wonderful, loving God, to make nature beautiful, wonderful, happy, hallelujah, something comes right around and proves he ain't that kind of a God at all. That is by observation. And you look around like David and you say, well, I saw the wicked outspread there spreading like the big bay tree. And he said, I saw them out there and everything seemed to go their way. And there wasn't anything they didn't turn their hands to but looked good and was good. Oh, my, they were right up there at the top of the social ladder. And he said, I said, well, what's with us? I thought we were the children of God and we're down here in the bottom rung. And he said, one day I saw their end. How did he see their end? You think David figured that thing out? You got to be a little bit ridiculous. God showed David. When he saw where the whole thing began to end up, why, he said, I'm the most blessed man in the whole world. Hallelujah. Why, he said, he takes the beggar off the dung heap and makes him a prince. Now, David was a pretty smart kid, even before he got to old Saul. Why, he said, thy servant was out there one day herding the sheep, and along came a lion. He said, just grab him, whap, 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 and fix the bear, and fix the lion up. And he said, one day a bear came by, and he thought he could sheep, and I went, bang, 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 got rid of him. He fat, nothing to it. David could have said, hey, boy, look at me. I was a sheep herder deluxe. Took his sling out there and bonged old Goliath, then cut his head off. Said, hey, boy, David the lion killer, the lion killer, bear killer, and now Goliath killer. Just took care of a whole army. He's a beggar on a dung heap. Why? Because he got a revelation. When you get a true revelation, you see exactly what you are, exactly what God is, and then what God does exactly with what you are to get you where he wants you to be, what's exactly what he is. Or he didn't become us, so we might become him. That's just a fallacious statement. All right. Now, we go to 1 Corinthians and see the truth of this, that God himself gives a revelation, and it doesn't have one thing to do with the man. As our good brother Paul said over in the book of Galatians, this is of God. Now, he said, brothers, he said, in the ninth verse, I have not seen your ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man, the things that God had prepared them to love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man, say the spirit of man that's in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now that tells you where the mind is. The mind of man is in the spirit, and the spirit's in the mind. You can never disassociate the mind and the spirit. That's exactly why a lot of people get brilliant thoughts from out there in the space. See, how did the mind think that up? Hogwash, the mind didn't get it, the spirit got it. Sure. Where do men get these equations? In other words, they'll set forth a theory, a proposition, and then watch them prove it. Where'd it come from? See? Now, look, that's just the same as a house suddenly appearing there. If the thing's right. Where did Einstein get his understanding of energy, the formula? Where do a lot of people get things? In the spirit. You better know what spirit you're dealing in. Now, we have received not the spirit of the word, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost himself taught us. I never got it from a man. I got it from the Holy Ghost. And I learned one thing. You don't get spiritual things from the carnal things are the things that's here. You get spiritual from spiritual. It's got to come direct from God. Then it's the thought of God, the understanding of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. Their spirits are there. In other words, the things of God come and you believe them. You don't try to figure them. How's he going to do it? It's none of your business. That's up to God. See, what's he going to do? It's none of your business. That's up to God. You just get clued in there now. Anyone can see that the Word and Spirit are one. The Word and the Spirit are one. We can see that. And both revealed. And one reveals the other. So there's one revelation. You understand what I said? One reveals the other. One has to reveal the other. The Spirit gave it. So therefore, it's a revelation of the Spirit, and it stands there. But if the Spirit doesn't reveal it, you don't know what he's saying. And if he doesn't say it, you haven't got a clue of what's going to be. I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm trying to get you somewhere. Now relax. At this point, your minds ought to be winding down. You follow and see what we're doing? Look, well, I live in a realm of where God moves. I'm not out here in Pentecost somewhere trying to work up excitement. I'm living in the mind age, which is a revealed age. The Spirit and the Word are one. Holy Spirit gives a word. Now that word positively reveals Him. But if He doesn't reveal that word, then that word stands there. The minute there's a revealed word, you have the revelation of God. There He is. You're seeing Him. They're one. Revelation of one is the same as the other. Because one does the other. You follow? I hope so. This is no mind twister. This is just beautiful. Now, then the love of God must also be revealed. And when a thing is revealed, it is only that which is already revealed by the Word, but not truly, unless it's a revealed Word. Now you say, what are you doing to us? I'm doing what I'm supposed to do to you. Now we receive not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, in order that we know the things that God has given us, and know God also. Which things we speak not in words of man's wisdom, but the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. There isn't any way anybody can tell you anything other than I've told you. That word which we have here, Paul brought, came from God, is absolutely a revelation. And it in its turn cannot be revealed outside of the Spirit, which of which we have a measure. So therefore now you have word, which is entirely spiritual, and doesn't have one thing to do with the physical. You hear what I'm saying? Then where does that put love? Well, where? I'll tell you, out in the boondocks. So you can have a wife and join the key club. Now you don't care if your wife goes to some other man. You don't have a right. That's what the prophet said. You stink. You stink. Young men telling me all the time, it doesn't matter if they marry a girl that someone's been messed with. That girl in my books is playing a whore. And you're sick. See? Now listen, let's get this flat. This is what's wrong today. You've got a pseudo love out there that stinks. You've got that filial love that's a sex love. Because that's one of the highest orders of the stinking thing. See? And when you've got that, you don't have this. Okay? So nobody's going to tell me that the love of God isn't one with the Word and a revealed love. Now, thus first, when we talk about love or anything to do with love, it has to be spoken so that one can know of its existence. And that goes for anything in the Word. And then described. And then fulfilled before our eyes. So there's no mistake. In other words, God teaches by precept and by example. People say, which is the right way to teach? Precept or example? Both. It's like love and marriage. They go together like a horse and carriage, and you shouldn't have one without the other. Now let's get this flat. Why is the world all messed up? Brother Brand said, because right back in the Garden of Eden, they got off on the wrong foot concerning love. Why? Because the devil gave a misinterpretation of God's word, a deliberate misinterpretation. Now, we'll follow that love part all the way through. Now, I said in here, that thing has got to be, something has got to be said about it. Like there's a filial love, that's not agape love, the agape love, no way, shape, and form. That's not what we're talking about. That's not one with the word, there's no way, shape, and form. because the word transcends the physical. Just like you see a nature out here, you know there's a God. Tell me about him. Pin him down. Let me understand. Give me something to understand with. Because man hasn't got what it takes to understand in the first place, but as soon as he's baptized with the Holy Ghost, the whole thing opens up. And a man comes around here and says, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, and doesn't align with the Word of God, there's something entirely wrong. And I'm not talking about after, I'm not talking about this Nazarene hogwash where you got, you know, you're completely this eradication stuff. Ha, eradicated fat. You're bringing all kinds of stupid words into theology. That's all you got is theology. All right, now it talks about it. Let's go back to Malachi. That's the last book in the Bible. We're going to start talking about love. We're talking about the Word. Okay, Malachi 1:1-3. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. And you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Now that's it. Now this is the last book in the Bible after hundreds of years of knowing the things of God, of knowing the ways of God. Now they're challenging God. And here's what God says. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob and hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Now they said, where have you loved us? He said, because you're a chosen race, I foreknew you. He said, how come you got me, nobody else has got me? How come you know me when nobody else knows me? How come I've defined myself to you and put myself and you in a position with me that nobody else has? And he drew the contrast. He said, yes, a very half-brother. How much love has God got for the foolish virgin alongside the true virgin? How much love has he got for the world? Hate. Now he lays her out here. Okay? Let's go a little further. Let's go to Ephesians. The first chapter, 3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. The same thing he saw in Jacob. That we should be holy and without blame before him, in love, having predestinated us. Now there you are, there's love. You say, well, now look here. that doesn't line up, humanly speaking. That's exactly right. It doesn't line up, humanly speaking, until you get a revelation. But God's love, and he's manifesting love. Okay, Romans 8:28-39. I won't have to read it. But let's go to John 3:16. Let's take a look at his love. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, John 3:16. Now that word is cosmos. Everybody seems to think that word's a bad word, a world order. That isn't true. It has a good meaning and a bad meaning. And the good meaning is that God so loved his own order. Starting with Brother Nelson Guy showed us on Wednesday night. From the fountain of seven colors, as it were, God coming forth. And coming down, 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 in order to get us back, back, back. See? Now God loved his order. Everything he made. Every atom, every flea, every mosquito, every gnat. Now, the cactus hadn't become cactus yet. It would take nature to do that, to become prickly, where the leaves would fold up and become like spears. But Brother Brown said they'll unfold in the millennium. Well, he ought to know what he's talking about. He was the closest thing millennium man ever saw anyway. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was his order. Now let's go back to Joel, the second chapter, and see how he loved his order. Now here he's talking about the coming of the millennium. Verse 21, fear not, O land, and be glad and rejoice. The Lord will do great things. Why? He's going to destroy those that destroyed the earth. He's going to reconstitute it. You notice that phrase being used around the world, reconstitution? Reconstitute, reconstitute. That's speaking of the resurrection. God's going to reconstitute. Recycle. And a brand new cycle. Sure, supposed to have that in the first place. Now it says here, be not afraid, ye beasts of the field. for the pasture of the wilderness to spring. Animals starving around the world, people starving, won't happen. The tree will bear fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Now then, be glad, you children of Zion, you bride, rejoice the Lord, for he's given you the former rain moderately. It will cause to come down the former rain and the latter, as in the first. And he tells you, follow on to know me, saith Lord, and I show myself by revelation, and it never changes. All right. How are you going to have love without it? People say, I can have this, I can have that. You can't have one thing outside of a revelation. Or you're walking in sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Faith's a revelation. And we're not bandying words and trying to be parrots. Now then, we are in a position to get a principle. It is this. Neither God's spirit nor God's love can be known apart from the word. Period. You can't do it. And that's only known because you're born again. Or you wouldn't have what it takes, because you only know the things of the man. And all you can do is take this word out of your Bible schools, your creeds and your dogmas, and you run with it, and you'll end up in the filio. That's the highest you can get, being nice to each other. Until it really doesn't matter. Even illicit sex, long as it's a, you know, what kind of affair do they call it? I forget. It's a, something has to do, not a serious affair, but a meaningful affair. You doggone rights is meaningful. It means the man has a wonderful time and the woman's a bigger jackass than ever. Amen. Come on, let's not be jackasses. Amen. Amen. Some people just want to just go ahead, and I don't know what they want to go ahead. You know what I could do? I could almost take a paintbrush with a quart of gilt. Just splash gold paint around that's worth 50 cents a gallon and sell it all for $1 million. Well, you know what I mean. It's too stupid. It's too stupid. Both God and his nature is revealed and manifested by that same word of definition. It's a word of definition. So God in action is word, and God in action is love. It's the Spirit of God doing it. Now watch it now and see how it works. And we're going to deal first with God, the Holy Spirit, and ourselves. Let's go back to the book, to the epistle of 1 John, because that's where all the trouble comes from. People get in here and quote John, the gospel, and the first epistle of John, and they end up in such mishmash, I just don't understand it. All right. Watch your temperature there, Bill. I think it's going kind of high. You sitting down don't notice it. All right. We're going to go to the fourth chapter right off the bat. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Well, how do you try the Spirit of God? Let's read on. Because many false prophets are gone into the world. So therefore, there's got to be a true prophet that tells you about God, and there's got to be a phony that leads you away from God. Just that simple. So God has a way of defining himself, though he is spirit. He lets you in on his innermost nature of who he is, what he is, and how he does. He clues you in. And he makes sure you're locked into it by giving you of his spirit so that you cannot go astray from what he says. Now, if he doesn't reveal that portion, you're not going to get it. But when he does reveal that portion, you will get it. Okay. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist. Have you heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world? Now let's keep reading. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now look, he's talking about some things here. He's talking about something very pertinent, one that a true prophet will bring and one that a false prophet will bring. Now, he tells you categorically that you are of God. Then what is of the world? The false prophet. That's why one word off is the world, because that's all it takes is one word off. Now, listen, they are of the world. Therefore, speak thee of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Now there you are. John's telling you how it is that you hold your finger there. Let's go back to Hebrews, the second chapter for a second. Now, beginning at verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels or messengers was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing witness with divers signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now you had to know what his will was. And when you knew exactly what the will of God was being manifested in that hour, that would give you a clue and a sign as to the prophet whether he was of God or not. Then when he came on the scene, you listened or you weren't a God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That was actually God, Jesus Christ, coming in the flesh. You say, you mean the flesh of that man? That's exactly what I mean. Well, let's go to the book of Ephesians and prove it. We're going to go to the fourth chapter. Now, after Paul is preaching here, the 17th verse, he says this, I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. In other words, you let your mind get into this thing. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now it tells you right here that you're alienated by ignorance and you can be non-alienated if you don't have ignorance. Amen. Well, today you know if you're an alien to God or you're one with God. On what grounds are your minds darkened today or are they open? Look, do you understand what I'm preaching? We're into this thing, brother, sister, where God is doing something. And you can know if you're the recipient. You can tell about your vessels where you are. I want to get to some few things. Listen, I'm going to preach a pastor message one of these days. Somebody might get a little bit miffed, but that's all right by me. We'll show in a hurry where you stand. I'm not here to reveal anything or anybody, but look, let's get down to the nitty-gritty on this thing. I've stood at this word for these years and years and taken abuse plumb around the world. And I take abuse day and night, because I stand with this word. Amen. Either God does it or it's not going to be done. Right. That's right. You show me one thing that's going to stand when this fire came that has one thing to do with a man. You don't pull yourself any bootstrap. All right. Now it says here, because of blindness of the heart. That's why the sacrifice doesn't do them any good. Who being past feeling have given themselves to lasciviousness, to work all unclean of the greediness. Now there's your love in there. That's that kibosh love. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be you have heard him, Christ, and been taught by him, Christ, as the truth is in Jesus. Paul tells him right there, he said, I'm the Holy Ghost, which is Jesus Christ in spirit form. Now, any man denies that the end time prophet spoken of by Peter, which would give the revelation by divine intervention, you turn him down, you lost. See, now we know what we're talking about. We talk about this word here. All right, let's go back to 1 John 4 again. He that is of God heareth us, and he that is not of God will not hear us. Hereby know we the Spirit that's blabbing a word. Because they're both going to have a word. Let's see if that Spirit's of God. Use the word test. People coming to them, remember years ago, a little girl came in here, and she said, oh, she said, over there, she said her dad, he's a preacher. Oh, she said, it's like they're playing church. What has she heard in her own church? I was doing a lot of the preaching. If you think we're playing church, I got news for you, let's bust up the party now. We got quite a few bucks in the trace, so it's going to have one big blowout. And call her quits. You know why? Because you don't judge the word by a spirit, but you judge the spirit by a word.
Man said, now he said, son, he said, I just want to tell you something that doesn't look good. He said, you married and her divorced. You're going to meet together. Well, he said, he had a dream. Now, in this dream, this woman was his wife. And so, therefore, he found that she had been, I think that's how the dream goes. It doesn't matter. We're going to be pretty close. That she'd been fooling another man, but he loved her so much, or vice versa, was forgiven. Brother Brandt said, now that sounds mighty sweet, but that ain't the word. Yeah. Hereby I know the spirit of truth and error. Okay? Let's go back to 1 John 1:1-7. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which your eyes have seen, we looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life. Notice he's called word of life now. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, bear witness. He's showing you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things you write that you joined me before. This then is a message which we have heard in him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So don't try to put anything there but the divinely revealed word. You don't guess. You don't think. You know. What you don't know, you put to one side and just let it sit there until God shows you. For maybe not for you to be seen. Now listen, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. There's no way you can serve God. There's no way you'll be worshiped. You've got to come according to light. Because in him was light. And the light was the light. In him was light. And in him was light. Because light and life are the same thing. The word lying there without the light of Almighty God shining, it's just word. The minute that word is for this hour, the light and the life of God, take that word and you take it, then you become one. Now, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship and the blood cleanses. Now, what if you don't? There's no blood for you. In other words, it won't work. That's why I said God loved the world to take away condemnation. But he said, yet there is condemnation. And what is the condemnation? Men love darkness rather than light. And what is darkness? Their own thinking and their own minds. Now there isn't one thing that's not up to scrutiny in this hour when we've got the word. See? Okay. 1 John 2:3-4. Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, and that is the authoritative prescription. You chuck what God said aside, you're finished. See? Because remember, the keeping of a commandment doesn't give you life. He's talking of something else here. It's your faith. And your faith lies in a revealed word. And that's what you abide in. See, that's where you don't throw your faith away. Now, whoso keepeth this word in... No. The fourth verse. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandment. His authoritative prescription's a liar. And the truth is not in him. Now, remember the one that said that he was the word. The same one said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you cannot separate, therefore, way, truth, life. You cannot separate word. You cannot separate spirit. You cannot separate love. It's in there. See? All right. That was 1 John 2:3-4. Okay. 1 John 2:18-28. Little children, it is the last time. You have heard Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists. Whereby we know it's the last time. They were not from us. They were not of us. If they'd been of us, they would have stayed continued with us. But they went out, that it might be made manifest. They were not all of us. In other words, the whole bunch wasn't a God. The only time the whole bunch was a God was the day of Pentecost. And that's the way it's going to be at the end time. You bet. There won't be a mixed multitude anymore. That old bride's getting narrowed down. You better believe it. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. In other words, it's within your grasp. Nobody knows all things per se. Ha! Only God knows God, and He's infinite. How's anybody going to know Him? He's not telling you that. He's telling what's for the hour. I've not written unto you because you know not the truth. So in other words, He's talking about what He wrote to them. So they know. They're in touch with this. They understand. But because you know it, and no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denied Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, denieth the Father and the Son. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Let that therefore abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall continue in the Son and the Father. He's telling you the criterion. You got the Holy Ghost. This is where you'll stand. This is your faith. And this is the promise He had promised us, eternal life. Have you got it? Yeah, if you're born again. These things are written concerning them that seduce you. He's telling you how it's going to be done. What is seduction? Someone coming with the wrong word. Oh, he'll have all the love and all the talk. Oh, he'll have everything. But he's a million miles off and he's stinking love too. Because let love be without dissimulation, which is hypocrisy. We'll get into that. But the anointing which you received Him abides in you. You don't need any man to teach you. But as the same anointing teaches all things in His truth and no lie, even as it is taught, you shall abide in Him. Now He tells you. He said, all right, He said, we at the end time, we are the ones that God has made us as a repository of His Word. Paul said the same thing. Now He said, if you want to know if you're in the truth or not, you'll have the same revelation I've got. And you won't say, well, hey, just a minute, Paul, I happen to know a few things myself. He said, you blew it. Where's leave all these sweet old guys in Pentecost? I said, want to just blast them, but I kept myself from doing it. I don't care anymore. I just blast because it's around us now, they claim to believe. Come and say, well, you see, Brother Vail, I had something too. And I said, sure. I got halitosis too, like everybody else has, stink feet and the rest of it. So go and blow about it. Go and blow about your perverted revelation of your three gods, everything. Go and blow about it. You'll see where you're going to be before it's over. You're going to find out that spirit was a spirit of hell and not a spirit of God that you were listening to. Well, he said, well, just a minute. I prophesied right. That's exactly right. Judas could do the same thing.
Amen.
Don't go tell me nonsense. I know that I know. You say, how can you know? Because I know that I know. It's just right here tells me I can know that I know. That's what gets people in trouble. They don't know that they know. If you know that you know, it's a different thing. And there's something in you, if you're a real child of God. You may be swatted around a bit, but you'll come around it. You bet you'll come around it. Now, 1 John 3:19-22. We're just reading some of this. See, I'm going to come back to the ones in between. All right. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is great in our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive Him because we keep His commandments. That's a divine prescription, authoritative. And do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, love one another, as He gave commandment. He that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. Hereby we know that He abides in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Now simply all told tells you this fact, that when you have the revealed Word of God, you will know actually right from wrong. You will go to the right. You will leave the wrong. Number one, in revelation, you'll leave what's wrong. Stick to what is right. And that will cause you, because you are in the light, to begin to walk in the light. There's no way anybody can walk in any light unless he's full of the Holy Ghost. So don't try to take it out of context. See? All right. Now let's go to the 24th verse of the same chapter. I read it to you. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Now listen, and hereby know we that he abides in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now it tells you right there, Paul said, now look, you can't get anything from God till you're born again. Now watch Peter. He said, hereby we know he abides in us by the Spirit that he gave us. That's true. You're born again. Now how do you know? The word test, the same as Paul said. How can a man full of the Holy Ghost say amen to Trinitarian dogma and doctrine? How can a Baptist so-called full of the Holy Ghost deny divine healing? How can a Church of Jesus Christ, of course they don't believe in the baptism anyway, so that lets them out entirely. They're all gone. At least they have enough the devil. In that case, he showed his colors. But they tell you nobody's got the Holy Ghost with 12 apostles. I thought 120 were filled the day of Pentecost and 3,000 after and so on down in Ephesus and down that. And they said, we speak where the Bible speaks, but they don't. They're liars. And they say God doesn't heal. They're liars again. They're too obvious. It ain't worth your time. Watch the Pentecostals. All right, now we talked about God who is Spirit, right? God who is Word. Especially God who is Word. Okay, let's go on. We'll deal with the love of God. Okay, that's 1 John 2 and 10. He that loveth his brother abides in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness blinded his eyes. Now you've got to be talking about two different people. Otherwise, God's got something mixed up, I can tell you that. And so is John and so is Paul. You've got two different people here. You say, why does he call him brother? Because that's the human name of the human race. What does God himself say? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Was he, wasn't he? Well, these are phony, baloney Christians. You want to know the truth? The spirit of Antichrist has gone out. Where is it? Right amongst them. Has it got a falling? Yes, right amongst them. Always twins. Two vines growing up. Okay, let's keep reading. Now we go to 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, is the world. Now, what was it back there in the garden? Satan appealed to her pride, to the eye gate. And he said, well, God's love. You won't die. But she did. Now, you got a love here that's phony baloney. Phony baloney prophet. Phony baloney word. Phony baloney spirit. Phony baloney love. You say what you want, but I'm telling you the truth. See? Now, try to keep reading. The world passed away, and the lust thereof. But he that doth the will of God abides forever. You do the will of God, doeth the will of God. How are you going to do it? Can't do it in the first place. Don't know it in the second place to do it. Tells you somebody's got something, the rest ain't got nothing. What's the will of God? Did you believe on Jesus Christ? You believe the word, the hour. You stand in it. In other words, just don't get your mind on conduct at this point. See? The prophet said if Eve should have had a state behind the word, she never would have messed up. The shield of faith keeps off the darts of the wicked one. And you don't need to worry about your back. Because God never let the devil stab anybody in the back yet. Somebody said, I got fooled by the devil. Yeah, you didn't get fooled by the devil. You opened yourself wide open.
I did too. Let's face it. Let's not yammer around here and be a bunch of sulkies this late in the day. 1 John 4, 7 to 12. Beloved, let us love one another. All you want? Yeah. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. We're getting into this love. See, watching the love part. He know it. Now watch. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. Now he's going to tell you something here. These bunch here have a peculiar kind of love that you got to be born of God and you got to know God or you ain't got it. I'll take a good look at it. He's telling you that something is there. And that which is there is built upon and with the two other things that are there. Everybody wants to separate this. Well, see, I can have this and this, and hopefully there's some way I can work out this. Hogwash. I'm sorry, that's not the way it goes. Says if you got this, this, you got that. Or I don't know my Bible. I'm talking in terms of the divine. And I'm talking in terms of acceptability, availability, and production. Okay. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. All right. It says, he that loveth not, that hasn't got that love, doesn't have the Holy Spirit, doesn't have a revelation. Then a man that does have the Holy Spirit, does have a revelation, does have love. Now, if you just abuse your mind about all this filial junk out there, we get somewhere. But as long as you get your mind all covered with the filial junk and what other people have said about it, then fine, you just stay right where you're at. Now, don't be puzzled. You just stick with me, because I'm going to finish this sermon. It takes 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't give her it. You want to go, you go. That's your business. You don't like what I'm saying, that's fine. You get bored, that's still fine. I'm looking at you, and I'm watching you. I ain't sparing anybody. And I can tell if you're bored, sleepy, gunkhead, or what. I remember one time at the other church, a certain guy, he fell asleep during the service, and the kid howled all the way through the service. That service, I said, I said, you got to where your kid was, and your kid where you was. You should have stayed awake, and your kid slept. He hasn't got the least conception of what's going on now. That's right. This church ain't secondhand. The Word of God's not secondhand. I admit I don't take half the time I should. I plead my guilt right before him. Let me tell you something. When I'm up here and an atmosphere is set, and this church has it, I not worry one little thing. I found God never let me down yet. It ain't about letting me down. It always goes right to this word here. Now, in this was manifest the love of God toward us. Now, as he shows you, now you're going to see manifestation here. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Now, what if that man was not preordained to it? I want to ask you a question. Could Jesus Christ show anything but love, seeing he was what he was? Can God do anything else but act in love, seeing that God is what he is? Now, you know that you'd have to have a revelation of love in that word to know what in the world's going on. Or the kind old priest made Jesus look like a two-bit junkie. But who crucified who? Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us. Now I'm going to tell you, here is love. Now, not that we love God, so therefore we don't have a thing to do with it. This is something you have got to get from him, or we ain't got it.
because we weren't in this thing in the first place, and it didn't spring from our roots, so it's got to spring from His roots. Send His Son to be a propitiation. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You say, well, we ought to, but we don't have to. Oh, for Pete's sake. I'm going to tell you something. I had a dog. I called him Pup. I liked that old boy, you know, because I grew up with him. 3 years of age, like 16, he got hit by cars and everything else. But he never could learn to stop chasing cars. I don't, he could, you know, that. But I used to have a lot of fun with him. He would lie on the hot porch sometime during the day, and he'd roll his feet in the air because he'd lean against the rail and he couldn't go any, well, he could have gone back the direction he came. But he'd lean there, his feet in the air, you know, breathe, and you could tell he'd twitch once, he was dreaming. So when he finally got nice and quiet, he rolled on his side, I'd go and get a little piece of meat. And I'd put that piece of meat just so far and watch, not a sign. And I put the meat a little bit closer, and then twitch, no. And I put the meat closer, and he'd twitch and talk about it. And I put the meat close enough, and he's like, don't, the meat one. Now, he couldn't help that. Because he's a dog. Now, you're born again, you can't help things either, you're going to go that way. I don't care what anybody says. I'm not a legalist anymore, brother. I'm a grace man. And I believe that God's in His Word. And God is love. And if that Spirit, which is Word, is in me, that love has got to be there somewhere, somehow. But it's got to be recognized. Now, no man has seen God at any time. But I have a revelation from the revealer himself on the grounds that a part of the revealer is in me. Amen. If a part of that revealer is in me, then love is in me. Spirit is in me, Word is in me. Now we'll just keep moving. 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that begat loveth every one of him that begat loveth him also that's begotten him. Now it tells you right there. You've got a natural channel toward the brethren. Providing their brethren. We're talking about a special kind of love. I'll hit that in a minute. Just give me time. I gave a part of it over there in Malachi and a part of it over there in Ephesians. We're going to go into more of it. All right. Now, we have talked about Spirit, Word, and love. So let's go and see if we can put them together with some Scripture, Spirit, Word, and love, which you see we've already done it in a measure. 1 John 2:5-14. For whosoever keepeth this word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Now it tells you right there, no word, no love. No completed love. No real love, if you don't have it. Hereby we know we are in Him. Now it's got to be there. He that saith he abideth in himself also so walketh even as he walked. How did he walk? In the light. With the blood cleansing him. We say, brother, he walked in love. Love? Yes, you bet. But he cleansed the temple. He picked one widow's son and passed the rest by. Brother Branham, prophet of God, he said he took a man by the pool. Maybe prostate trouble, maybe some little thing, you can live with it. And people dying of cancer, he walked right by like that. Amen. Don't tell God what to do. Shut up and find out what he does. What he did, Jesus said, what I see my Father do, I do. What I hear him say, I say. And Brother Bannon said, he said, you're a bunch of mossbacks. And he said, the one that told me to tell you that told me this person's trouble. What made John the Baptist call those guys a bunch of snake in the grass? A bunch of weasels.
Bunch of devils, Jesus called them. Father told them to say it. Because I'm going to go around saying that, not unless he told you. A man thought he's a judgment prophet. Brother Ben said, if you think you judge, he said, you better make sure you're called. You do what you want. You say, why'd you say that? Because I told you a long time ago, I'd have gotten my mind. You can't think of that one, I'm sorry, but I've told you a long time ago. Now, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard in the beginning. What word? Back in Genesis, Revelation. It started back there. One word off. Let's get back to Eden. I'm giving you the old word. You got out of Eden by going off the word. You're going to get back by going to the word. A new commandment I write. Which thing is true in him and in you? Because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Now why is it anew? Because Alpha's Omega. Latter rain is former rain. So I'm telling you the same thing. I'm showing you where you got off. What took place. How you got to get back on. There's nothing changed. He that saith he is in the light hates his brothers in darkness even until now. He went back to the beginning. Listen, Adam and Eve were not brothers. Cain and Abel were brothers. Go back to the beginning. Go back to the brothers. Twins. Huh? Well, come on. Every word, brother, sister, brings forth twins. Every sowing brings forth twins. And William Branham's vision when the man went around the world in dark, following the man in white, that was Hebrews 12. The latter rain prophet had false prophets. And the false teachers went out. ran around. I could be a false teacher. Got a true gift, but I could be phony as the $3 bill. I don't know how that works really. Too much, but Brother said it could. But you notice I'm not running. Invitations around the world, I won't go. You've got to come and beg, borrow, steal the tapes. Now you're off my back. Response of nobody. Except here. I'll answer here. And if I'm right, you don't believe, you'll answer. See? Just that simple. I'm trying to show you something. Alright? He that loves his brother abides in the light. How are you going to be in the light unless you're born again? If you're born again, you got the light. That says right here, he that loves abides in light. So if I abide in the light, I love. It works both ways. If A is equal to B and B is equal to C, then A and C are the same thing. That is quantity wise. Then if A in substance is the same as B and B is the same as C in substance, then A and C are the same substance, which could be applesauce. No matter which way you go. God's a Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. What does it matter? All depends on the hour. Love, Word, Spirit. What does it matter? All go together. Can't take one and leave the other. One man says, well, I got love. Oh, great love. What about the prophet in this hour? Ah, that guy, all he could do is nauseate me with his ranting and his raving and his condemning. And now look where he is. He's condemned. And you call him a prophet and got the Holy Ghost? Brother, what kind of Holy Ghost you got? You ain't got the same kind I got. Maybe I ain't got either. At least I'm going to be honest. I write, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. His name's sake? Oh, you've been working hard to get your sins forgiven. How many candles you lit? How many prayers you said for me, for yourself? How many cakes have you baked and laid it on the altar? bunch of legalists. Not around here, I hope. I run to you, Father, because you have known him that's from the beginning. Now listen here, brother, sister, if God's forgiven us because of his name's sake, what about this hour when his name is given to the bride, Mrs. Jesus, by Vindicator Prophet? Now that's love. Because that's spirit, that's word. Now you see what happens. That begins to make you feel all mellow about yourself. It makes you feel all mellow about the fellow that leaves one with you. And stays with the word. So the people don't get led astray. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him from the beginning. That's from the beginning. I write unto young men because you've overcome the wicked one. I write unto little children because you've known the Father. See, the Father and the sons are all the same thing now. See, the hearts were turned back. Now our hearts are turned back. We're all one. One with the prophets who brought the word. One with the word the prophet brought. One with the spirit that gave the word. One in our love. Young men, you're strong. The word of God abides in you. I thought God abode in us. Brother, one. You've overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, the things of the world. Any man love the world, the love of the world is not, the Father is not in him. And so on. I don't have to read it. I can read, I want to read the rest of it. John 3:23. I'm jumping around here on purpose. And this is his command. We should believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And love one another as he gave commandments. It's a divine prescription. What was it? Did you believe on the name? How do you believe? It's only because you got a revelation. How do you love? It's only because you got love. You don't trump it up. Brother Branham said, all these things are birthed into you. See, it's all there. Okay, 1 John 4:13-21. Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his spirit. The minister says that we know him because we got love. We know him because this. It tells you we know him because we're born again. And when you're born again, you have the word. And when you have it, you have love. Or your baptism. You got another baptism. People say, I want that baptism of love. You find me that in Scripture. Well, that's a rebirth. The baptism of God. See, they always want to play the thing out in the ballpark some way. They always want to separate it. My books you cannot separate. Maybe in somebody else's books you can. Hereby we know. No. No man has seen God. No. I'll see where I want to get the 13th verse. 14 now. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, it tells you something, that you saw the love of God. Who's ever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God? God dwelleth in him and he in God. Now, you've got to confess the Word. Now, you've got to confess God. Now, you've got to confess love. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Exactly right. How are you going to be out of it? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. Now he tells us, here is our love made perfect. And the day of judgment we have boldness. Nothing to hide, nothing to be ashamed of, it's all there. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Where is he in the light? And in the full obedience of faith. And we have the faith of Jesus Christ. Which is the full obedience of faith. It's a complete imputation. Now remember, sonship is not imputation. You were there in the beginning. Or you don't have imputation now. Everything you missed, you have representation for. There is no fear in love. Yep. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now listen, put the whole thing together. There's a word for this hour. Relaxation. No guilt. No fear. In his presence. Says your love's made perfect. That's toward Him. It's the end. That which is perfect has come. By the grace of God, the perfect revealed Word of God. What was a perfect revelation of God? God was in Christ. He's back here without the body. Same yesterday, day, and forever. Fully revealed, the mercy seat right before us. Elohim unveiled. Communion with the high priest. Starting that kingly journey. Ushering the millennium. You got to be a reflector of what's given to you. How can you have that love if it's not reflected? How can you not have it if it is reflected? If you're a receptacle.
Four, 13 to 21.
We love Him because He first loved us. You know what? I walk because I got 2 feet. I chew because I got teeth. I can see because I got eyes. When it comes to, oh, well, that's different, you see, Brother Bayard. Then you got to be nuts. You're right back where the devil wants you. Right back where the devil wants you. He's not the same yesterday and forever. His word is a lie. It says we love Him because He first loved us. Now the question is, did He love us or did He not? Then do we love Him? Well, you say, well, that's an implied thing. Well, fine, you have it your way. You should have changed your tune. It took me 45 years to stop making God a liar. 45 years I could have known I was the righteousness of God, that what God cleans, you don't call common or unclean. Clean, you know that it's the truth, because God said so. But you see, I'm going to tell you what. When you become judges of that word, you're never doers of it. In other words, it never comes into your life. Now stay awake. Or bring on the ice cubes. I mean to preach this stuff, and I don't preach stuff. I don't want to preach stuff. I'll be leaving you one of these days, but I'll get on the road or something a while. There's something we've got to understand here. There's a phony baloney thing out there called love, and I don't buy it. And I'm trying to bring you to a place by the grace of Almighty God where you see something. And if I got to whack you around, I'm going to whack you around. But let me tell you this, your jobs are not this important that you can stay away from church. Or you can fool around and come to here half sleepy and dopey. That's right. I work 40 hours a week and preach 6 and 7 times in a week. Older than some of you sitting here. Now, smarten up. This is your life and my life. And this is where the prophet warned. He said, what do you know about it, brother? I know a lot about it. I left my wife and kids for months. I stood test, you know nothing of it. So on the talk, I talk. Now, let's understand. You see, Brother Vail, that's not love. Well, in your books, it ain't. But it mine's a certain kind of a love anyway, because I'll stand here and tell you. I've got no axe to grind at you, I'm just telling you. Because when this service is over, like one guy said, he said, old Bale hung there awful tough. He said, now that what's with this bird? What's with the bird? What's he actually got to grind? And he said he went out there and the kids came and he threw the kids in the air, laughed and talked to your buddy. And he finally said, what's with that guy anyway? That's with this guy right here in this pulpit. I'm not the same man out there. Let's get that flat. You do what you want. Now, you watch those words every now and then. I'm trying to make myself somebody. I know this one thing. I wasn't called here to this last hour just for nothing. If I was, that's it. I missed the boat somewhere. I'm kidding myself. That's fine. I kid myself. I'm an idiot. Let's see. Okay? We're now 21. We got to the 21st verse. This is the command we have from Him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. This is the divine prescription. This is the antidote. This is the thing that God wrote out. All right, what is that? That's a medicine. We've already got it.
which is eternal light. Okay? 1 John 5:1-5. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Fine. Everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also begotten him. And it tells you what it is. In plain English, you've got a specialized kind of love, period, that is different from filial love, that goes in a certain direction. Here's a guy who loves nothing but meat. You say, what's that? That's a salad. Can't take it. Well, you ought to have salad. I ain't looking at you, Rusty, so don't sit there grinning. I wasn't even thinking of you. They're always on a measure because I know you're one of them. But I think you're like your dad a lot. And worse luck, I've gotten about the same way. But I'm going to tell you something. There's the people that instinctively go to this word, and their whole association is with this word, and their whole association is with people of this word, so that though you don't like it, mother, father, sister, brother, aunts, uncles, blood relations are not as dear to you as those that are joined by the blood and the life of Jesus Christ. I know only too well what I'm speaking of. And if you don't know what I'm speaking of, you are in for a treat. Just get born again.
Amen.
And you're going to find that though you love them filial, the fellowship isn't there. What do you do? Well, I'll sell the Lord down the river. Oh no, you can't do it. You're very sweet. Because you've got the filial. But it's a different thing entirely. And he that does not leave father, mother, sister, brother, and notice it doesn't talk about leaving your wife. You gotta watch that very carefully. Adam left his father and mother for a non-word. Jesus fulfilled the non-word penalty. Took us right back. And he that doesn't pull out from his churches, creeds, and these dogmas. And remember, Brother Branham said, that was my mother, though it wasn't my mother. And that was my father, though it wasn't my father. He said, I was born in denominations and creeds and religions and dogmas. And churches and organizations. And he fought for what was his mother. But it didn't do any good. So he had to pull out and call out a bride. I want to ask you a question. Why was his heart the way it was, always in that one place? Because that's where God put him. We know that we love the children of God when we love God. By this we know we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his his divine prescription. What's his divine prescription? Light. Word. Because prescription is prescribo. To write beforehand. It's already written. The old commandment, the new commandment, it's the same thing. It's in the beginning. It's the end. We left. We're going back. And we love it. For this is the love of God, that we keep his divine prescription, his authoritative prescription. And his prestoritative prescription is not grievous. What is it? The word. It's the light. And you walk in it. All right? Look again for a second. 1 John 3. We're going to look again. 1 John 3:23-24. And this is his authoritative prescription. That we believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ. Alright, and we love one another. As he gave his commandment. It's one and the same commandment. It tells you if you're born again. And you love him that begat. You love him that's begotten of him that begat. How could you love the Father and hate the Son? How can you know the Father and not know the Son? How can you know the Son and not know the Father? How can you have the life of God and not the life of the Son? Tell me, I want an answer to these things. I want to know how a man can be born again and not have the fruit of the Spirit.
I don't know how man can be born again and not have the revealed word. See, brother, sister, we're at a different place, position entirely what we used to be. Entirely a different position. Okay. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him and he in him. I thought you had to be born again. Now you mean to tell me I've got to go through a process and then I get it? I thought you had to be born to get somewhere in this world. How are you going to teach a fetus?
Amen.
Can't do it. Got to be born. Hereby we know he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. It tells you love, Spirit, Word, all one thing. If you got one, you'll have the other. Okay. 1 John 4:15-16. Whosoever shall confess Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. He now you gotta talk. Now you gotta confess. What are you gonna confess? What the Word says. What's happened to you? And he in him. Okay? And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. God already tells you I'm dwelling in him, in love if I'm dwelling in the Word, and the Word's in me. But people, if your mind is so cooped up with the filial love that Brother Branham tried to get us away from, he tried to tell us the priest's love was filial love. Nice, kind man, sweet, kind man. But when it came to Jesus, he hated him. And he hated God. But he said, I love God. Oh, he said, I counseled the men. I counseled the wives. I circumcised the babies. I dedicate them to God. I do the sprinkling for them. I do all of these things. I love them. I help get them out of jail. Oh, yes, he said, I just love them. I love them. I love them. I love God. I love God. And God says, shut up. You're a liar. See, now, come on. Don't come on me at all. God said they'd be so cooped up with filial love, they'd kill you thinking they did God a favor. Now let's get this filial love stuff, brother. Let's get this flat. The bride is coming together. And the phonies are coming together too. Now pardon the expression, but I'm just going to let it there. I might change that a little bit, let you know that it's not all phony. But just put it this way, this is that which is off, is coming together too. And there's going to be a separation of that also. There's going to be a separation completely of the three divisions, which are going to be virgin, foolish virgin, and those that are completely out. Separation's going on now. The prophet distinctly said the chaff would pull away from the wheat when the wheat said, I and my Father are one, and we are saying today, well, I and my Father are one in a certain degree, but you see, not in love. And you're all mixed up with what you're manufacturing, what God already has for you, because it's in God. Okay. 1 John, we got 5:4-16. Well, we got further than that, didn't we? Well, we 1 John 5. All right, now we got 1 John 5:19-20. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Who are of God? He that heareth us. Now just a minute. He said, you're of God because you hear me. You're of God because you're full of the Holy Ghost. You're of God because you're walking like you got the Word. You're of God because you got love. But you say, well, I'll tell you what. The man could have all those three, but not the fourth. If there's four pieces in there, I think I've made four of them things there. Is that a fact? Miss one, you ain't got none. One word off the kingdom. One part of God missing is no part of God. Just got an anointing. Now hold it. Anointing does not agree with the Word. Now that's the one place where you make your word test. So if you say, well, I'm 100% with that word, that I know, but my love ain't quite right. That's not too bad, but you're still messed up.
Because now you're imputing something to God in you that isn't there after all. Now, if you say, look, I know how to get out of the way, now we're talking business. That's a different story. That's a secret Brother Branham had to learn to get out of the way. Okay, we're going to keep moving here now. So it is there and it never changes. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and that we are in Him that is true, even His Son Jesus Christ, and this is the true God and eternal life. Now, notice, He doesn't put love in there. I didn't take it out, now neither did He. But He didn't put it in. So you better be careful where you're putting your emphasis, honey. Because the world says, love, 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 love. Hallelujah, Jesus, love you. Hallelujah, Jesus, love you. Love, love, love. And I said, there was a prophet named William Branham. There was a prophet named William Branham who came, and he was the Elijah of this hour. And he turned the hearts of the children back to the fathers. That was the Lord Jesus Christ descending to this earth in the form of the Holy Spirit. In the Son of Man ministry to prove who it was with this word, which is the shout. And if you missed it, you missed it all. And they say, who do you think you are? And I talk to people right today about the presence, and I say, just tell me one thing, because you and I don't seem to agree. Do you believe that you can be in the rapture without the shout? And they say no. And I say, that's what I'm preaching. He is here. Because the Lord descended. And the resurrection is not over. And we haven't been taken up. And that spirit that's here takes us up to incarnate. He said, that's what I'm preaching. And they still turn and say they believe a message. If I'm right, where is the love of God in them? You answer your own question. You do what you want. I'm up for shots, pot shots all day and all night. You get your own pot shots up. I hope I got your amens recorded on tape. You deserve it. Takes the pressure off me. All right. It is there what we preach, and it never changes. Spirit, word, love is all one. And the word is the key to it all. It is a wrong spirit that has a wrong word. It is a false or hypocritical love that is not one with the word. It is a false word that is not divinely revealed. Now then, John laid it out. That's the way it is. Spirit and word and love are all one. All right. If one chooses to disagree with this, let's get another witness. We go to the Apostle Paul. In Ephesians. The 5th chapter, 1-17, be therefore followers of God and dear children and walk in love. As Christ hath also walked, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. What's the epitome of love? Get out of the way. Get yourself out of the way. That's it. But fornication, uncleanness, covetous, let it not be named among you. That become a saint, he's talking about it, Alv. This is where your filial love goes. Neither filious or foolish talking or jesting, which is not convenient, but rather giving of thanks, for know this and know whoremonger, clean person, covetous man, idolater, hath inheritance the kingdom of God and of Christ. Let no man deceive. Now listen, watch this. Let no man deceive you with vain words. In other words, words that cannot come to pass carry deception. The church is preaching deception. For because of these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not partakers with them, but you were sometimes darkness, but are now light. Walk as children of light. Paul says the same thing. Where do you separate love and light and the Holy Spirit, the Word? Where do you do it? Can't do it. Where do you find a Christian be anything but that? Proving what he has said for the word of the Lord. And the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them. Where's love in reproving? We'll go into that maybe next Sunday. It's a shame to speak of those things done by them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Whosoever, whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Brother Branham reproved the love, the filial love out there. Just like Jesus did. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Wise, wise virgin. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be not wise, unwise in understanding, but what the will of the Lord is. A wise virgin has the word of God. She's full of light. She's full of the Holy Ghost. She's got love. And when the squeeze will come down, they'll say, hey, come and join us. We love you. Ah, but no, I love God. You love God, and now you're saying you don't love us. It isn't that. It isn't that. I love that word that tells me certain things. I cannot join myself to idols. Amen. Now you're calling me an idolater. Amen. What do you want for a nickel? You think this is a book of baloney? You cut your own baloney. This is bread of life. That's right. We're feeding on a body word. Not the hogwash of men. Galatians 5 and 25. But if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. How do you know? Take a step at a time, Brother Branham says, the light shines, take a step at a time. It's a step of faith. It's a step of believing. And it's a step of doing. Galatians 6, 1 to 2, brethren, man, be overcome of fault. You that are spiritual, restore such a one a spirit of meekness. That's the Spirit of God. Considering thyself, lest thou be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. 2 Corinthians 13. Here's the third time, verse 1, I'm calling, coming to you. In the mouth of two of the witnesses, let every word be established. I told you before. For tell you as if I were present the second time, being absent, not right to them whereto we which have hitherto have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again I will not spare. That's like Paul coming in the first of the Holy Spirit this end time. When he comes, he won't spare. One taken, one left. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, a man came to Brother Branham one day. I think Lloyd gave me that. We looked at him, and his church order might have been. And in there, this man said, you know, as God was speaking in Jesus Christ, he said, so God was speaking in you answering my question. Brother Branham said, you learned more in 5 minutes than these other people have learned in 10 years. Something like that. He had more truth. Christ speaking in him, which is to you word, is not weak, but is mighty in you. Pardon me. I want to read that again. They seek the proof of Christ speaking in me. Yes, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. Now he said, the very word that I speak in you is mighty in you. It's the mightiest thing you have. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. For we also are weak in him. How are we weak? Because we don't have our own thinking anymore. We don't have our light. We don't have our ways. It is he now. But we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. The same the life that's in the word. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Christ is in you except you be reprobates? Now he lays it down. He said, what more have I got to tell you? He said, okay then, you're a bunch of reprobates. Hold it, Paul. He said, look, you can't have your cake and eat it. I told you what's wrong with a lot of people. They're a bunch of mugwumps. They're sitting on a fence. They sit and sit there, and a certain people, they'll fall over. He was here. I'm going to tell you something. I don't sit on a fence. I'm done plumb cutting. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to hell. It's that simple. Ain't no purgatory. You what if your foolish virgin? I doubt that very much. I'm too strong. I've cast my lot too hard. I got to be one or the other. Not that it wouldn't be bad. Whatever he wants. But I said, know ye not your own self? That how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you reprobates. You take your pick. But I trust you shall know that we are not reprobates. How you gonna know? He tell you right here. Give it the word test. Now I pray to God that you do no evil. that we should, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Now, I said, they're going to call you reprobates, but he said, don't let that bug you. For we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Now, he's telling you, how are you going to abnegate God's love if already you've been separated and you're in the light and the Word is in you? How are you going to put a lid on it? You smart off, I tell you what happened to you. You'll be separated. God will clean you up and kill you. Serve you right. For we are glad when we are weak and you're strong. This also is even your perfection. These things are right being absent. At present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not destruction. He said, I'll come in love and I'll cut you up one side and down the other. And he said, I'm going to say, oh, Paul, you're a dirty, mean individual. He said, no, I ain't. No, sir. Brother Branham preached on the prophet hewing him out. The people didn't like the way that old Micaiah stood up there either and called Ahab and his 400 prophets of hell. Called their bluff. And Paul said, I'm not tearing down, I'm edifying. But what is he tearing down? The creeds and the dogmas and the illicit thoughts of men in the presence of God. Finally, brethren, farewell. This is my last goodbye. Be perfect. Be a good comfort. Be a one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. And he says here, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. In one place it's the God of love. In the next place it's the love of God and communion of the Holy Ghost. And the God who is love, who gave you his Spirit, which is a love gift, the same as the love gift of the blood and the life of the Son. Now the same loving God is in you. And you should recognize it. Or there's something wrong with your recognition. Now it is easy to follow what we've already said, quoting the prophet. God is love. God is the Word. God corrects. Love corrects. The Word corrects. God builds up. Love builds up. The Word builds up. Spirit builds up. What do you want for nickel? Okay? We're coming there. Again, we see that the Word test is the only test for love and for, that is for God who is love. And for God who is Spirit. And the Word test is based on a vindicated Word. Then God can only be love in essence, or shows His love, when He deals by His Word. And we can only be dealing in love as we deal in His Word. This is the Holy Ghost filter. Now the Spirit of the Word and the Spirit of love is one Spirit. Spirit of God. And we have been given of His Spirit. So now we read in John 3, 1 John 3, 1 to 12. Now I'm as anxious to get out of here as you are, but I'm going to get out of here for the time being. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not Him. How are they going to know anything of your kind of love? The kind of God that you know and the kind of love that you know. How are they going to know about it? Ha! If you say you love the Lord and you want Him, Israel, say, well, come before the psychiatrist board. Oh, brother. It isn't knowing. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear we shall be. There's no proof of it. But we know when He shall appear, we'll have our proof then. We're going to see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Now it tells you, what are you doing? You're cutting out, bringing that mind more and more under control, more and more under control. Everything must come under control. Because that's the hint. Whoso commit a sin transgresses the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And we know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Doesn't mean just in Him is no sin. It means in the bride there's no sin. She's spotless, virtuous. Whoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither knows Him. Now, Brother Branham said sin was unbelief. And how are you going to have unbelief if you're in Him? The Spirit of God showing you. Little children, let no man deceive you. Now, notice, let no man deceive you Deception can only come by vain words. That's right. Deception starts with the word.
Okay.
He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. You got to find what righteousness is. Just keep moving. We'll go into that too. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifesting might bring to nothing or undo the works of the devil. The works of the devil was deception. And unrighteousness by deception. Which was a living up to and in harmony with a deceived word. That's where their faith was. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. He is not fooled. For God's seed remains in him. And therefore this man cannot sin because he is born of God. Never get fooled. Just the children of God are manifest. The children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. In other words, that's the framework of the word of God within the framework of the word. You've been in that. We'll show you again. Neither he that loveth not his brother. It's right there. Now look at, let's get this understanding of a brother. Why doesn't he love him? Because he differs in his theology. How can you love a receptacle of a true theology? I mean, how can you not love a vessel of true theology if you yourself are a vessel of true theology? How can a perverted vessel of wrong theology love a vessel of true theology and vice versa? You say, Brother Vail, the point is this. God loved the man, but he didn't love the sin. Why did he say so then? Why did he just burn the guy's sin up? He wouldn't even need to do that. The blood was there. Why isn't the blood affected? Because the light isn't there. Come on, let's not be babies anymore, brother, sister. We're not here in the world anymore. This is nailed down. I don't care how you take it. It all adds up to the same thing. A prophet was in the land. But the true revelation. And we're walking in the very light of the light himself. He is our light. And he's our life. And he's our love. Find me God loving a harlot. It's okay until he said, I forgive you. He said, take now a harlot, love many men. And you say to her, you be to me and I'll be to you, true wife. He said, okay. Now if he'd have turned around and had a key club and said, it's okay, honey, you've had a lot of guys, so you like a lot of fun, you're used to a lot of guys, and I might not satisfy you, so in the meantime, he wouldn't have loved her, right, would he? That wouldn't be the love of God then, would it? Oh, but he loved her, right? Silly old junk. I got this thing ironed out, I tell you what. I don't have a bit of trouble me and my wife running another man. I'd love them both. I'd just walk in and shoot them. Wouldn't bother me at all. Might have to have time to think it over. You said, just a minute, why? Because the heat of passion, brother, you can do anything. Not really, but there's a... I want to just tell you something. I say, I don't buy this stuff that's out there. You can buy it all you want and think you get it. You know, come on, that's... You heard what I've said. Once you were forgiven, but not anymore. Once the light strikes, that thing is all over. I was reading, wasn't I? 1:3-12. I guess, all right now. For this is a message you heard in the beginning. That we love one another. Not as Cain as the wicked one that slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Now, this here that I read to you was left out on purpose, of course, so that I could make comments, which I've been making some comments, but go back to verse 1. The world doesn't know love as we know it. Let's face it. They don't know us. They don't know the Father. They don't know love. Oh, wait. 3:13. Marvel not, brothers, the world hates you. That takes care of that. John 16, 1 to 3 said, the day's going to come when they think they're doing God a favor by killing you. He said, that's because you love me and I love you. All right? Let's go to the 7th verse and read 7 and 8. Little children, no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that commits sin is the devil, for the devil sinneth in the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God is manifest, he might destroy the works of the devil. All right? That part that says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, he might destroy the works of the devil, bring to nothing, or undo them, is what gets you to understand 7 and 8 that says, little children, no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now, somebody's been fooled. Somebody's been led astray. Every son of God was led astray through seduction, through deception, through vain words. The vain word was, thou shalt not surely die. And the lie is repeated in this hour, thou shalt not die, but they're going to die. Because the last plague in Egypt was spiritual death. Now, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as God is righteous himself. So there's something that you can get involved in. Something that you're into. Something that you're doing. That has its roots in God and is absolutely, God is righteous and you're righteous in the same respect. You have a perfection of unity. Now it says, he that commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. Now, God came in order to stop that. To bring us in the light. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For God's seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now listen, that seed of God keeps you from deception. And deception lies in a phony, perverted word. Now listen, keep in mind what we're saying here all the time. Why did a prophet come? For the word's sake. A prophet cannot give you the Holy Ghost. A prophet cannot give you love. He cannot give you anything but a word of God.
Amen.
And if you ain't got nothing here, you ain't going to get it. Now, turning the hearts of the children back to the Father is getting rid of deception. Get that flat. Israel was deceived about what Messiah was and everything else. What the atonement was. What the promise of the Gentile was. What Isaiah 53 was. They didn't understand anything. John came and told them. Then God fulfilled it. Now William Branham comes on the scene and gives the word to us. Now there's no more deception. No way we can be fooled. And this the children of God are manifest. And the children of the devil. No more deception. So what? Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not a God. Now it tells you that. Want to turn it over?